The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 404, recorded on November 6th, 2015. Welcome to the 404th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 237th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Scott Dirk.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, for those who didn't figure it out, last week we did not do a podcast for two reasons. One is that I'm on a limited space on Podbean, you know, and I'm thinking maybe a Kickstarter to increase that, you know, might be in the works, but... And the other reason, it's a holiday, so it's just a good excuse just to let everybody off the hook and just do what they have to do on Halloween.
Yeah, it's good to go out trick-or-treating with the kid, and I dressed up as a Jedi, so that was fun. Had a lightsaber. It's cool.
And what did the kid dress up as?
She was...
An Imperial officer.
No, she was a Cinderella from the new movie Cinderella.
Oh, so she didn't call you rebel scum.
That's unfortunate. No. I was protecting the princess.
Except it's a completely different type of princess. Although, actually, Princess Leia is now technically a Disney princess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, there was a story this past week about a guy who was dying, who wanted to see these Force Awakens before he died, and we're happy to report that he actually got to see it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really unfortunate to have cancer, but good to at least have something to see, you know, and not miss out on at least. It's, you know, it's unfortunate, but glad he got to see the movie.
But here's the thing. I just hope that the movie did not end on a cliffhanger. I hope they had the scripts to the to episode 8 and episode 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Say, okay, well, this is what we were planning on doing, so you know how everything ends up, you know. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a, The Empire Strikes Back situation. In which, let's see, Lando and Chewie go off to parts unknown to save Han Solo. Luke is just standing there with his robots, staring off into deep space, wondering what's going to happen after the Rebel Alliance was dealt a serious blow.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see the hero standing on a spaceship, looking off into space, waiting to rescue. So that would be for episode 2, now, wouldn't it? Or episode 8?
Yeah.
Episode 8. So yeah, what's interesting to me is that J.J. Abrams is not signed up for episode 8 or 9, which is strange. I mean, it could be like a Gore Verbinski situation in which he's just going to wait until the movie makes a gajillion dollars and demand a high salary, you know?
It doesn't sound like J.J., I don't know.
I don't know, but it's just strange that they wouldn't have him for the 8th and 9th episodes.
Yeah, that is strange.
But we're going to see if there is Star Wars fatigue. Although, the last movie was in 2003, so it's been 11 years. It hasn't the 15 years. It hasn't been quite the 16 years of wait.
They've been doing a movie every single year for the past, you know, 13 whatever years, and there would be fatigue. But this is like just new, re-energized excitement because a whole new generation gets to watch Star Wars in the theaters, and it's like, and I'm sure that they've already made their money back just from the first one, and so it's new. It definitely feels fresh, and I don't think there's going to be fatigue for some time now.
Well, there could be, because they're also starting their own little Star Wars cinematic universe. Yeah, so Star Wars Rebels, a movie about Darth Maul, which I don't see as possible. Although in the canon, although I don't know what canon exists anymore, because Disney said this is no longer canon, that's no longer canon.
A couple books.
Yeah, so apparently he survived being cut in half and falling to the bottom of whatever shaft that was.
I thought that was just a fan theory.
No, but if they're going to make a Darth Maul movie that's based after the events of the film, and then there's supposed to be also an Obi-Wan movie, which also I don't see as possible because didn't he spend 30 minutes doing nothing on Tatooine? Just, you know, hiding out because it is shame just to become a hermit? I mean, are they going to say that he had secret adventures?
He could have had secret adventures. I mean, I know there's Yoda fought a Sith Lord on Dagobah, and we never saw that in the movie, and that might be a nice thing to show us instead of just telling us.
I'd rather see a Yoda movie than I would see a Obi-Wan movie, actually, because I'd like to think that Obi-Wan was so deeply ashamed of what happened between him and Darth Vader that he would just spend the entire 30 years trying to forget it.
Well, he was trying to watch Luke and keep an eye and make sure that nothing happened to the boy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although, wasn't that Beru and Owen's job?
Oh yeah, they're watching him for the day to day.
They spent the entire time trashing his father, though.
Well, yeah.
Not without good reason, by the way.
Yes, it's true. But you know, it's like Obi-Wan's just trying to make sure the Imperials don't come sniffing around because you know Aunt Beru and you know them can't obviously deal with that.
Was there a danger of that happening? Of them sniffing around? And, well, okay, we're getting into plot holes created by the prequels now. But also, you know, didn't Darth Vader recognize Leia was his daughter? I mean, he could sense people from far away. He could probably sense his own midichlorians in her. Anyways, but, you know, the thing is that one of the good things about the 7, 8, 9 films is that it looks like they're completely ignoring everything about the prequel trilogy. You know, the thing is that, you know, they could have had subtle references to the prequel trilogy, like having this or talking about Naboo or anything like that. It doesn't seem like they're going to do any of that. There's not even these ships from the Naboo space, you know, those sleek gold.
I thought there was a shot in the trailer of Naboo with a bunch of, like, decorative banners and this ruins that looked kind of tropical.
I don't know. They're not even showing Coruscant in Episode 7, from what I understand. Or at least they didn't show it in the trailer.
Right.
I mean, everything is just, you know, fan service, I would guess. I mean, there's probably more to it, but, you know, J.J. Abrams loves fan service. I mean, look what he did with the Star Trek movies. If anything, he was very cute about, you know, inserting fan service and everything. Anyways, this is way off topic. So what have you been playing?
I've been playing Legend of Heroes, Trials in the Sky, the first game. And I've been really enjoying it.
Legend of... Okay, the RPG. For a moment, I thought you were talking about Heroes of Might and Magic.
It's no, like, no.
No, okay, so yeah, that RPG, yeah.
Yeah, and the second game came out, and so I wanted to finish up the first one. And I really enjoyed it.
Oh, so you're playing the first chapter. You're playing the first chapter.
It's supposed to be like the sixth, but...
You're playing the first chapter before you play the second chapter.
Yes.
Okay.
And the nice thing about it, I know in the original Japanese, this is actually part 6, but it's like Final Fantasy in that this has nothing to do with the previous 5 installments. And what they seem to do is, they're like little arcs, little trilogies. Except for like the first 2 games are connected, and then the next 3 are connected, and then this, you know, new trilogy. And then apparently there's games after this trilogy too that are being called, I think it's Cold Steel or something like that.
I wouldn't know. I haven't played those games. I know the developers of that series also did the East series or YS series. I never know how to pronounce that series.
I believe it's called. I had trouble too, but I believe they wanted to be Eyes.
Eyes. Yeah.
I think I heard that somewhere.
And here's the thing: is that six. Trials, there are 6 of them, and each one is divided into like 3 or 4 chapters each.
Yeah.
So basically, what you're playing, I think, is probably episode 19 or something like that, you know, technically.
Yeah, but it's a separate story. I don't think it really... I'm not even sure it takes place in the same world as the previous ones, so I'm pretty sure they're all separate stories, so you're not going to miss anything or feel lost, because it definitely started... like a hero's journey would start. You know, you have your heroes who are, you know, wet behind the ears, naive, and they're the mother is dead, and it's a female protagonist too. So it's the mother, it's the girl's mother who died, And there was a war, and now she's like, training up to be this bracer who goes around and, you know, does good things. And it's very hero's journey, and I'm enjoying it.
The reason why I bring it up is because, well, Final Fantasy does the same thing, right? And they're only up to, well, they're going to be up to 15 soon, and that's...
Yeah, each one is different, or each one is a different world for the most part.
So, let's talk about, before I talk about what I've been playing, let's talk about your anticipation, because last night you recorded a Fallout 4 podcast.
Mm-hmm, with Off the Record, and it was a joint podcast with Off the Record and That Podcast. I tried to do the Boston accent, it's kind of hard to do.
Boston accent? Well, why don't you give us the URL so that people know where to check it.
Okay, the
main podcast record, because they'll just have to find it from there.
Well, we don't have our website up yet, but we have a Facebook page.
Okay. Off the Record.
For That Podcast. And I'll check it and verify what it is. But I believe it should be That Podcast, PAWDcast. Let's see. I guess it's a weird number there. But, like, you could go on, just go on.
Do a search. What would be the search that people have to do?
I would do That. And then podcast, PAWDCA.
Oh, podcast. Yeah. I say Bast, a podcast. Yeah, it's wicked good.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to get that accent in. It's really tricky.
It's wicked good.
It's wicked good. So that should be able to bring them to our Facebook page, and we'll update when we do our podcast recording, which we haven't done yet. But like I said, we did this initial joint pre-recording with Off the Record to just to get back into the swing of things,
right.
And they did a video chatting, which was new for me. I've never done that on Skype. That might seem funny to some people.
You did a live Skype episode?
Yeah, a live Skype episode.
Okay. Was it a video episode or just a regular audio?
Video. Video. I've never done that before. That's what I'm trying
One
to say.
Of these days, I'm going to try that with this, just to see what would happen.
That'd be interesting.
Not video, though. Because my place is a mess, and I don't want anybody ever to see the mess I have in my bedroom.
Yeah, lots of people feel that way, their place is a mess.
Maybe I should turn it around so it's facing the 4K TV.
That's a possibility.
What?
But it was fun. It was very entertaining, and we talked about what character builds we were going to do, and what just the history of Fallout, and what we're looking forward to doing. You know, anticipation is a killer. But
here's the thing: is that you said what's it called? A little bit related to that is that you said there was a news item that recently popped up about Fallout 4.
Yes,
that weren't able to get into the podcast notes.
Yeah, sorry. There was some leaks. I think some people were either getting hacked copies or they were breaking their NDA agreements, their non-disclosure agreements, to not reveal anything, and people were posting up information.
Speaking of spoilers, I mean, it's like it's been a minefield out there because this is the first 20 minutes of Fallout 4. No, don't want to watch. Here's the ending to Fallout 4. Sorry, not watching.
Yep, people are posting that exact thing, and someone was even getting in chat during the Off the Record recording and trying to spoil and just be jerk. And they had to ban him, and so I forget the guy's name.
Well, it doesn't. But here's the thing: is that when you're a video game journalist, when you're doing articles for a website like I'm doing, it's even more difficult because this is news.
Yeah.
And I have to. I don't. Someone else did the news item, thankfully, so I didn't have to watch it. Although seeing the first 20 minutes, I think it's just before the bombs explode, you're a kid, you have parents, then the bombs explode and you go, and this is just from pure osmosis. This is what happened in Fallout 3 for the most part. Except in that one, you're just getting born, and you're already in the thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned, which is not a spoiler, which is really kind of neat, is that when you put in a first name for your character, the game has a database for spoken first names so that your robot butler, I forgot his name,
right,
will actually address you by that name if it's one of the names in there. So if you name your character Scott, he's going to say, what are you doing, Scott?
He'll say Scott.
My name is both common and uncommon, so I don't know if Jonah will be in there. We'll see.
They put a lot in there, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, but I'm still one of those people who can't find their names on the in the amusement parks, you know, with the little license plates and, yeah, and the mugs and all that stuff, you know. So I haven't got my name isn't that there's a demarcation, I feel, of names in which you can find your name if you can find your name on a license plate in an amusement park, you have that sort of name.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then you don't have a common name.
I don't know. I've heard of Jonas before, so it's not.
Yeah, like, but it's not on the it's not on the license plate. You know, you have Jonah Hill, you have
right?
Jonah Blackman, but apparently Jonah is not yet popular enough to warrant them printing out license plates on for amusement parks. So that's my secret shame.
Aww.
So, anyways, what I have been playing is obviously Halo 5, and I completed. And you know, a lot of people are complaining about this story was short. I didn't think it was all that short. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I don't marathon these games. I don't it took me a couple of days to finish it because I was only playing one or two, you know, missions per, and there are 15 missions. And it's, you know, I don't sit down in front of a game and just play it and play it and play it and play it and play it until I finish it, you know.
Same here.
So I sort of extended it, you know, and I'm doing a little bit of a replay to find the skulls. You know, there's a skull guide out there, and the two I really wanted were the I Would Have Been Your Daddy's Skull and the Grunt Birthday Party Skull. The Grunt Birthday Party Skull is if you do a headshot on a grunt,
wow.
There's, what's it called, confetti pops up and children cheer.
Oh, jeez.
Yay! So if you're in a field full of grunts, you'll have all these popping grunts with birthday confetti and cheering children. While the I Would Have Been Your Daddy's Skull just opens up the rare dialogue, you know, more.
Damn, that's rather macabre game there.
The I Would Have Been Your Daddy is from when Johnson said, I would have been your daddy except the dog beat me over the fence. So.
Oh, wow. Terrible.
I know. So, yeah, I've been playing that. I've also started playing a little bit of Civ 5 again, because sometimes I just need a, you know, a turn-based game, you know, and I shamefully have less than 400 hours, so I have to catch up to other people who have 900 and 1,000 hours playing it.
Yep.
So, I still have not played Sid Meier's Beyond Earth, and with the expansion coming out, I think I'm just going to be waiting for one of those deals in which I can get both for like 10 bucks or something like that. From what I understand, the expansion Rising Tides really adds a lot to it. It does what basically the other two expansions of Civ 5 did: dumps some stupid mechanics, adds new ones, and basically makes it a better game, like the hybrid ideologies and stuff like that. So, yeah, instead of paying $70 for both expansions, I'm just gonna wait.
Yeah, wait for a deal.
Yeah.
But it is getting better, I think. It's improved. They've had some better graphics, and better UI interface, and working on the AI, and you have this diplomatic capital, and you have those artifacts, and
the biggest thing is people just said it makes it feel less like Civ 5 with an Alpha Centauri mod.
Yeah, but we'll have to see. You know, this direction. I guess it's a wait and see. You know, so yeah.
Someone told me that Firaxis does not shy away from dumping entire mechanics in an expansion.
Yeah.
If you remember, with Civ 5, there were some mechanics that were completely dumped, you know, and added with Gods and Kings and, oh, I forgot the name of the second one. Oh, Brave New World?
The diplomatic victory was completely changed. Previously, you had to build the UN in vanilla,
yeah.
And then when the expansions came out, you no longer had to ever build the UN, so you would actually miss out on the achievement if you didn't build the UN in vanilla. So that could be really difficult for some people who are trying to get all the achievements.
Yeah. The thing about Civ 5, though, is I have to turn off the culture victory. It's way too easy for me to win with that.
It is.
You know, I don't want to win by culture anymore. I mean, and that's one of my favorite parts is the archaeology aspect, by the way. We're getting way off topic.
I do like that.
You know, in which everything that you did early in the game... Oh, look! Remember that battle you had? Well, here, you found some stuff. You know, I would like to see them make tourism a little less powerful. You know, I mean, tourism and, you know, the diplomatic victory, too easy. I mean, not diplomatic, I mean culture victory. So, Yeah, I mean, but one thing I seldom ever do is try and go for the military conquest. I never build my civilizations to be these powerhouses. Of course, then again, I seldom ever get the Aztecs or the Mongols, so maybe one of these days I'll cut loose and select the Mongols and just decide to raid everybody. Hey, and there are no such thing as independent cities, free cities. I'm just going to conquer them and make them my own. Or just raise them. Oh, wait. Can you raise city-states.
You can't raise them.
Not even as Mongols?
Nope.
No.
I'll make them puppets then. Capitals.
Actually, it makes more sense for the Mongols to have puppets and not actual annexing cities.
I think that would be the same for the Greeks.
Yeah.
But I guess that there's a lot of civs that interact with the city-states, like Austria can...
Yeah, marry them.
Marry them.
That's what I was about to say. You know, one of these days I'm going to play as the Austrian and see how many city-states I can marry into.
Yeah. That is funny.
Anyways, Well, let's not get too far into Civ 5. This is not the polycast.
Right.
So... Before we move on to the main news, there was something else. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to Fallout 4. I did download the Pip-Boy app for my... I decided to get it for Android. I mean, they're both the same, the iOS and the Android. Did you download it yet?
Android, too.
Did you download it yet?
Not yet, but I will.
If you download it, you can't obviously use it, but you can go into demo mode just to see what it's like. Just cycle
it
through.
It has some games, like, Missile Commander, I think it's called, or something.
Or Cosmic Commander. Yeah, there's going to be holotapes that you can, download in the game, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'm looking forward to with Fallout 4, though, is the Minecraft aspect in which you can build your own base, creating your own, maybe if you want to, a trade network, that sort of stuff. It'll be interesting to see how that's implemented. And I'm getting the Xbox One version.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get the PC version, but I'm really curious to see about how PC modding is going to work on the Xbox One, because that's one of the big things that's supposed to be about the Xbox One version.
Yeah, also, they said there's no more Steam Workshop. You have to do Bethesda Net or Nexus for PC at least.
Yeah, it's a minor annoyance for PC owners, but you know, very minor. I mean, it's just
very
meaning
minor.
You have to go somewhere else to do it. And if you're going to go to the official site, yeah, well, I mean, it's not like you're going to some rogue third party place. And the thing is that I wonder if the main reason why they're doing that is that Bethesda wants to be able to vet them for porting over to the Xbox One, sort of like, and promote the ones they think are the best. You know,
that's
so
a possibility.
So that you have the Bethesda suggest page, and you see all these great ones that are really well thought out. I'm wondering, and this is the last we're going to be doing of what you've been playing. I'm wondering if there is going to be a New York City expansion. Because they did have, you know, going to Pittsburgh in the pit, you know.
Interesting. It would be, yeah, we're pretty close to New York. It wouldn't be too difficult. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
So, yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to what have you been playing. And this first item is sort of like, you sent me an item like 2 weeks ago that's saying that this was going to be a thing. And then about a couple of days later, I had to tell you it's not going to be a thing. So, Sony not to offer its backwards compatibility. And this comes from Yahoo. I may post a little MP3 of the singing Yahoo thing. Yahoo! Backwards compatibility is one of the major upcoming features in Microsoft's Xbox One, but Sony is sticking to its guns and will not offer anything similar to users of the PlayStation 4. The company is not in development to offer backwards compatibility, instead preferring to focus on new games. Jim Ryan, Sony Computer Entertainment Europe's president and CEO, in an interview with a video game-centric site, Eurogamer... video game-centric site? Yahoo, really? It's a video game website. It's not video game-centric. That's a weird way to call it. Said backwards compatibility is, quote, not a feature that's used much. Repress your rage there for a moment, Scott, while I move on. Ryan's response is similar to a previous statement by Sony Computer Entertainment's Worldwide Studios chief Shoei Yoshida and shows the company's rigidity on the subject. It was very interesting to look at the montage of various Tekkens, and I love seeing how those things have evolved over the years. The first I loved, looks pretty historic. The next generation comes along, and people just jump at it, Ryan told his site, on the sidelines of Paris Games Week. It gets talked about, which is always high on that list of what people want, but it's not a feature that gets used all that much. Our focus is on new games. Sony's assertion signals its intention to encourage players to access the PlayStation Now, which will play some of their favorite PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 titles.
Maybe that's where I misunderstood the story, but go ahead, continue.
Well, I'll end there because it's just... Anyway, so, yeah, your reaction?
Well, yeah, I thought they were going to start allowing these older games to be played because there are some games, like, okay, for instance, my main point, Breath of Fire 3. I wanted to play this game, and I thought, okay, just put it on the PSN, and I'll buy it. What? You're not going to put it on there? Well, then what's my choice? Okay, I can look online. They want to charge me $100 for this game. No, thank you. So what do I have to do? Pirate the ROM. And now you've lost money because you wouldn't put it on fucking PSN and let me buy the goddamn game. So, whatever.
Yeah, here's the thing. They're lying when they say, or not lying, but they're doing corporate speak for saying no one. Well, everybody says they want backwards compatibility, but no one really wants it. But you know what? If you really want to play it, you can buy it from us. You know, they do want backwards compatibility, but they want you to pay for it. You know, yeah, that's what the PSN store is about. And also PlayStation Now, which is their answer to... Not answer. It's their version. You know, EA Access trumped it. And that's another reason why they're not doing EA Access, even though EA really wants to do be on the PSN as well. But EA Access sort of interferes with what they're doing with PlayStation Now. And I remember a lot of people, including Jordan, were really upset. You know, they were charging $5 a month for games that you could buy for $2 anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It just feels like they don't really care about their customers. They just want to make bottom dollar, and I understand you want to make money. But there's a point, and we were talking about this on the
Pokemon thing
podcast as well, about companies that seem to actually care about their customers, and I felt that, you know, like Bethesda's work ethics were, you know, we care. Of course, they want to make money, just like everybody else, but they also care about their customers in that they don't do this kind of tactic, you know? You can, yeah, exactly. You could buy all the Fallout games on GOG or Steam. No problem. Here they are, guys. You can go ahead and buy them.
Well, you know, actually, Bethesda was prickish towards Interplay. Let's not forget that's, you know. But yet...
I'm talking about customers.
Yeah, but here's the thing is that Microsoft had the same arrogance at the end of their Xbox 360 cycle because 360 dominated that generation. So they quickly realized their mistake of trying to force what's called an online system, you know, and all this other stuff. And they said, you know what, you know, remember that article that I said that you sent me, which we didn't have time to do, that said Microsoft was, you know, was not looking at what's it called, was stopped. Seeing the PS4 as competition, or at least they weren't going to try and catch up with it. Right. The other part of that story was that they decided they were going to focus on the customers, basically because their arrogance led to them losing customers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why they brought backwards compatibility, in a clever way, I might add, to the Xbox One is because they're trying to say, hey, look, you know what? We have backwards compatibility, and guess what? You don't have to pay for it. And the way they're doing it is kind of, you know, basically, you stick your disc in, and it sends you a ported version of that game, a no-frills ported version, mind you, although they will be including DLC by no-frills. I mean, they just run it through a compiler. You know, does it work? Yes? Okay, it's out there. You know,
there you go.
Just make sure it works. That's all we want. You know, so that – and it's, you know, or if you had the XBLA version, you know, it'll just appear as something you can download. Right. And there is another part of this that maybe, you know, some companies might be noticing is that people will be able to buy games on the Xbox One if they're released as backwards compatibility from the store that they didn't before, like Red Dead Redemption, that has not seen a PC release, you know, and all that stuff. And some people haven't played it yet, and they're on the Xbox One. And you can buy, what's it called, instead of backwards compatibility, you know, in that you insert your disc, you just... You know, you didn't have the disc. Oh, but I want to play it. You can buy it. And that brings money to Rockstar. That brings money to Microsoft.
Exactly.
For a game that's essentially dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So...
It seems like easy money.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Microsoft has this thing which people vote for the games that they want to see most on backwards compatibility, which is I'm pretty sure Microsoft's going to wave in Rockstar's face, hey, look, our customers want Red Dead Redemption on the Xbox One. We're going to make money with it. Do it. You know?
Exactly.
And all the first-party games are going to be on it. So on this list, you have Halo 3 and Halo Reach. And I always post there. You don't have to worry about it. It's a first-party game. It's going to be there no matter what. You know, you don't have to worry about that. I really want to play Halo 3 ODST on my Xbox One. I can play it on my 360 because I want firefight mode. Oh, and that's the thing that I neglected to mention about Halo 5 is the multiplayer mode. I really despise the Warzone, but now I'm getting into it, you know, now, and I'm really getting to Arena, but the problem is Warzone is basically one big microtransaction thing.
Ugh, I hate that crap.
And I'm pretty sure that's the reason why they're not releasing Forge, they're not releasing Big Team Battles, and they're not releasing Firefight yet, is because they want people to spend their money on Warzone before they actually do it. So it's sort of like, let's get people addicted to Warzone and used to paying for the rec packs, right? I will admit that even though I hated it, I actually ended up buying two red packs, gold red packs, just because I wanted some. See, the thing about it is, I don't care about the weapons that are in the red packs. I care more about the customization. You know,
I like customization, make it, your game feel like it's yours.
Yeah, so I actually got some legendary items out of it. So for $3, $8 post purchase, I'm not going to be doing it because I also discovered that I was getting enough points in game to be able to afford those gold packs without spending money. So that's why I'm softened a little bit on the thing, because I found that I was able to generate enough without having to pay for it. You know, mm-hmm. So it wasn't a complete grind, you know. I could get enough to get a gold pack and say 2 or 3 hours of gameplay, maybe 4, you know. So that made me soften on it, even though I'm really not, you know, it's sort of icky for me that, you know, the microtransactions. At least I wasn't, you know, they weren't forcing me to buy them. You know, it's like, oh, guess what? You know, you're way behind. You better buy yourself a rec pack.
Yeah, I hate that crap. So feeling like your arm's being twisted, and if you don't buy this, you're just wasting time.
And here's the thing. You could get the silver and bronze rec packs, you know, fairly quickly, but they're crap, and I don't bother with them. I just have enough patience to wait for the gold rec pack. And if I'm particularly bored, I'll just buy a rec pack for $3 and just say, okay, here, whatever. I think that's the mindset they want for you for microtransaction, you know. But on the other hand,
apathetic, whatever. Yeah, here you go.
But on the other hand, you know, I bought into it. I'm not spending an inordinate amount of money.
500 gems.
I think in my mind, anything that's over $20 spent over the course of lifetime of a game for microtransaction DLC is too much. $20 is like my limit, you know, and I'm not even half that. So I'm saying, okay. It's fine. I'll be patient. Wait for Big Team Battles, and I really want Forge because I want to recreate Gruntpocalypse, in which the firefight mode, in which only grunts were attacking you. So now, if I do Grunt Birthday Party Skull, it'll be like a party. You'll hear popping and children cheering during the entire thing.
Wow!
just yay! 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 It has to be headshots too. It can't be just killing them. You have to do a headshot kill.
That is so dark.
Yeah, but so anyways, yeah. Do you think that Sony will embrace backwards compatibility in like say a year or so?
I really don't know. That would be too late
in my eyes, but
yeah, it kind of does feel too late. I mean, this is obviously. I mean, you've discussed this before, and I know Jordan said that they had bad architecture, and I guess I'm finally understanding what he meant by that.
You know what? By the way, before you go move on, I just remember that when I told you, oh, by the way, Sony said that there's not going to be any backwards compatibility. You said, oh, I guess I'm not buying a PS4. Your exact words.
Yep. Exactly. So they've lost out on the sale there. I mean. I used to really love buying, you know, Sony and playing Sony games, and I'm just have this PS3 now, and that's all I need, I guess, as far as they're concerned. And so, yeah, that's I'm just going to stick to PC games.
The only reason why I don't really enjoy the Sony consoles is a very simple reason. I can't stand their controller. I mean, I know a lot of people love them, but I don't like having both thumbsticks down and in the center. It doesn't feel right to me.
It's whatever you're comfortable with, and if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Yeah. What's interesting is that Microsoft is releasing a Fallout 4 Xbox One bundle.
Yeah, and I also heard that there's a Fallout 4 theme for the Apple Watch and the loot crates and arcade blocks.
Do they have any Fallout 4 characters from Minecraft yet?
I'm sure if I looked online, I could find them.
You know, here's the funny thing is that, since Fallout 4 is trying to become a little bit more like Minecraft, maybe it would be a natural fit. Or how about Minecraft characters being in Fallout 4 in the form of bobblehead dolls?
Yeah, that would be cool. A little creeper or something like that.
Yeah. Or just a Minecraft character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is going to be a little bit off topic again, but it seems like Telltale is just stealth releasing these Minecraft episodes now. It's like, oh, by the way, episode 2 is available now. Usually they would have to tease the hell out of it, you know. Now they're just saying, screw it, here it is.
Well, I think most people that wanted to know were looking up and keeping track, but we didn't know when it was until, like, I don't know, I guess a week or so ahead. We're like, oh, yeah, we're releasing it this day. And like, oh, finally. So it's nice that we didn't have to wait too long for the next episode, which I played, and it was a lot of fun.
Let me ask you a question. Will you buy the HoloLens just to do the 3D Minecraft thing?
Well, I'm doing Minecraft, so I guess it is 3D, and.
I mean, but, having it on your table in augmented reality.
That would be cool, but, I don't know, I don't think I can afford that kind of thing.
I don't know. So. You know, the thing is about the that's funny because of the Oculus Rift. It's like, oh, by the way, it's going to be $250 casually.
Yeah,
it's like, no. If I wanted that, I would buy a used PS4 or something for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Oh, speaking of ripoffs, I think I spoke about this last week. The Halo 5 Legendary Edition was just two statues. It was a statue that you could break into and all that. When I got the $99 limited edition bundle, I don't think it was worth $99. I think the cost that went into it was basically, there's some rec packs involved too. You know, that was, I mean, I like the in-universe material, like Locke's Orders and stuff like that, but this could have been just in a $70 limited edition. I mean, this was a pure money cash grab. Again, when they know you'll pay for it, they'll do it. I mean, that's why Call of Duty DLC has been $15 since the dawn of time. And the season pass is $40, so you're basically spending $100 for a game instead of $60 because you want all the content that they're releasing for it. Oh, wait, did you send me that updated Mona Lisa DLC comparison?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It said original games and would show the painting of the Mona Lisa.
And then two separate paintings that are different than the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, there were two different paintings from Leonardo. I don't know what they were. I'm sorry I didn't recognize them. But obviously they're different paintings, so they would expand on his work, the game, as it were. And then the modern would be show the picture of Mona Lisa, cut up a few pieces for exclusive DLC, cut up a big chunk for expansion pack, and it was funny. I was like, that's exactly how I feel about this whole modern way of dealing with games. It just feels all chopped up.
So anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Advertising Standards Authority rules Valve misled customers with Grand Theft Auto 5 Steam sale. During Valve's Steam sale this past summer, fans were outraged at what they perceived was a bait-and-switch by the company regarding Grand Theft Auto 5 and various bundles. The UK Advertising Standards Authority has ruled that Valve has misled, or had indeed misled, customers deliberately during the sale. What angered customers was that during the sale, it seemed like Grand Theft Auto 5 was advertised as being a 25 to 30% discount. However, clicking the ad took the gamers to Grand Theft Auto 5's bundles, which included bonuses like Grand Theft Auto Online cash cards or Grand Theft Auto 5 bundled with another game, like Max Payne 3 or Grand Theft Auto 3 San Andreas. Whereas the original Grand Theft Auto 5 did appear in the sale briefly, but was quickly pulled from the Steam store entirely. This meant that players could only buy it with a bundle in normally base price or a very low discount of $1 to $2 off. gamers who already owned those games included in the bundle received no benefit at all, and of course some gamers weren't interested in those games in the first place. In other words, the game that was advertised as being on sale wasn't available to purchase on sale. The ASA ruled that Valve was indeed culpable of bait and switch, stating that the advertising a sale with the original game and bundle side by side was misleading, especially when Valve pulled the original game from the store. In addition, the bundles never existed before the sale, so therefore weren't sales. The ad must not appear again in its current form. We told Steam to ensure their future savings claims did not mislead about benefits available for the agency. This adds a bit of irony to Valve stating a few weeks ago that there was no long-term benefit in allowing ads on Steam.
Yeah, so basically, they did this with another game too. They had a sale of a game, but you couldn't buy the game at all during the sale. You had to buy it plus plus another game, you know. So basically, you're paying for say you're paying $60 for Grand Theft Auto 5 and Max Payne 3, which is technically a sale. But as the ASA said, if you never sold that bundle before, it's not a sale.
Right, it's a new thing, so,
you know,
or a new item.
And you know, some people don't want to play Max Payne 3 or already own Max Payne 3, and some people don't want to do the Grand Theft Online thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Valve is. This is not the first time Valve has done this, you know. And speaking of arrogant companies, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they are basically dominating the digital distribution arena, just like the NFL dominates football. And ESPN dominates sports reporting, you know. Good Old Games does not do this.
Well, they don't.
Neither does Gamersgate, which I have to be very careful about saying because poor Gamersgate, their name is now one letter off from Gamergate. And I wonder what people think, you know. And Gamersgate is great. And as a matter of fact, one of the funny things is that Focus Home Interactive were sending me their games automatically on my Gamersgate profile. So I go into Gamersgate, there's like 50 games that I have that are available to download. It's even worse than Steve is like, what the hell? And I can't gift them to other people either, you know, because they're my account. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's not much more than we can say, only that I'm glad they got caught. But the thing that's disappointing to me was that it was the UK that busted them. Where's the US in all of this, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess they're too busy focusing on other stuff, you know, like Ben Carson saying, the pyramids, they housed all the grain, so, you know.
Yeah, I like to house grain alongside corpses and treasure and slaves that were suffocated and killed. Anyways, we'll save the Politicast for another time because we have a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't know. I'm hoping this means that they don't do it again. I mean, it wasn't like I wanted Steam to Valve to be punished, you know? I thought cuz even though they did something wrong, I don't see how you could punish them. Except by fining them, and when has that ever stopped anybody from doing stuff like this?
Yeah.
And people had the right approach to this. They did not buy it. They didn't feel forced into doing it. They just said, we don't like this, we're not going to buy it, period. End of story.
Yeah, we're not suckers.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. Like I said before, the DLC for Call of Duty costs $15 because people are willing to pay $15 for it. People were not willing to pay for bundles they didn't want here.
Right. They had crossed the limit, crossed the line.
Yeah. So, moving on to the next item. The Witcher movie slated for 2017. And this comes to us from Game Watcher. The Witcher video game is based on the book by Polish writer Andrzej Sapkowski. I mean, I know that when it says Andrzej, it's actually just Andrzej. Right, Sapkowski have made the property hot enough that the Sean Daniel Company is prepared to produce a full-length Witcher film. It'll be directed by Polish director, who was Oscar-nominated, Tomasz Szubiński. The genre fans know the Sean Daniel Company for the Mummy franchise starring Brendan Fraser. And, by the way, when he went into those places, there were no grain inside the pyramids. So there, we have a little bit of a segue, see? They're also doing a remake of Ben-Hur for next year, and also a new television series called The Expanse. The film will be based on the stories The Witcher and Lesser Evil from The Last Witch was a collection of 7 short stories. The Witcher film is planned to be the part of a series. Well, why not? I mean, whenever you make a film now, it can't just be a standalone film. It has to be a series of planned films. I mean, that's the only reason why The Chronicles of Narnia was started, because they saw C.S. Lewis made 6 books and said, hey, look, we have 6 movies. We can do a Harry Potter sort of thing with it.
Yeah. They've only done 3 movies of that?
Yeah, and 2 of them were direct-to-video. No, 1 was direct-to-video. The other 2 were theater releases. But what was it? Prince Caspian?
Yeah.
Bombed badly. Yeah. The Witcher film is going to be written by Tania St. John, who has done scripts for various television series such as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Chicago Fire, and Grimm. The Witcher is aiming for a 2017 release and is currently in pre-production, so no actors have been attached to the film yet.
I want to know who's going to play Geralt. And his voice like that.
Do you play The Witcher?
I have not played... Well, I've played it, but not all the way through.
Right.
So I know what it's about, what it's like. And, yeah, he is very gravelly. That was a good impression. I like that impression.
You know, actually, this... I just sort of approve of this, because, A, they're basing it on the books and not the video game. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, this is sort of franchise that's basically made for film. I mean, I actually think it makes for a better film than it does for a video game, for a role-playing game.
They had that Witch Hunter movie with Vin Diesel, so it's kind of like that, it feels like.
But in this case, see, the thing about the books is that they're more intellectual than your usual fantasy stuff, you know?
Mm.
They basically delve more with the location you're in rather than the character you are and how that location reacts to your character. So he makes for a good anti-hero for the film. So Geralt, for those who don't know, is this big, hulking, white-haired guy.
He's nothing like Elric, so I don't want to hear it.
And he also has sex with every woman that he... Oh, that's another thing, is that you can bet that The Witcher is going to have plenty of sex in it, because the books are...
it'll be a porn.
Almost a porn. Fantasy porn.
I'm Geralt. Watch my sword.
Anyways, so yeah, it actually... And by the way, they also released... see, BlizzCon is this weekend, and they released the trailer to Warcraft. Have you seen it?
That I have not seen, but they released very good trailers, and I know their CGI movies are just awesome, and they should just already make their damn Warcraft movie already.
It's not a CGI, although the orcs are obviously in CGI.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed, it's not World of Warcraft, it's Warcraft, meaning orcs and humans. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You're not going to see the Burning Crusade. You're not going to see the. I forgot what the Minotaurs are called. Oh, the Tauren. The Tauren. You're not going to see Tauren. You're not going to see. Maybe you'll see hints of it, because in Warcraft, of course, you have the gnomes making all the human stuff. But I didn't see a single gnome in the trailer. Maybe that could be a part of it. By the way, they could just be focusing on the two races, because the trailer was all about humans and orcs hating each other, and the opening part of the trailer shows one of them killing a human boy, and the other one shows them humans doing something heinous, and it's about these two characters, a human and orc, who are getting together to fight a bigger threat, and either side, it's basically Planet of the Apes with orcs, you know?
What's this bigger threat? Is it the demons, then?
It could be. They never say. I'm pretty sure. Hey, maybe it's a tie-in to Legion, and it's going to be the Burning Crusade. You know, they never show the villain. So yeah, I mean, but actually, it could be more of the plot of First Warcraft, because if I remember correctly, it had nothing to do with demons. It just had to do with the greater threat was part because they have on either side they have characters who just hate humans no matter what, and they question, like, why are you helping them, you know, because they're scum and I want to kill all of them, you know. So it could be sort of like Battle of the Planet of the Apes, in which it's all, you know, ideology that's being, but I have a feeling that it is a third party, and the third party would probably be the Burning Crusade, because you know, demons don't get no respect in the Warcraft universe.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the new classes in World of Warcraft Legion, is the Demon Hunter.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm still looking forward to Assassin's Creed, the movie, simply because it has Michael Fassbender playing Altair. You know, and regardless, you're going to get a good performance out of him. You know,
very much.
Even if it's cheesy. I mean, you could watch Dungeons and Dragons because of Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, some people like cheesy.
Yeah. I mean, although, you know, I like cheesy. Just get rid of Snails, please. There was no reason for Snails to be there.
He was supposed to be the comic relief. I guess it could have made him better, but...
Yeah, he was non-midi. Every time he cracked a joke, it made me sadder.
A lot of times when they have a rogue character, he's the comic relief.
You know, it's not a good sign when the entire audience cheers when your comic relief gets killed.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
You know, did you see it in theaters?
Dungeons I think I did, yeah.
Did everybody cheer when Snails got impaled in the most brutal way possible?
I didn't hear any cheering, but that was a long time ago.
Everybody in my theater cheered. It's like, get out. We don't want you. I mean, forgive me the fact it was a blatant The Phantom Menace ripoff. I mean, if you're going to rip off Star Wars, why are you ripping off Phantom Menace? So, anyways.
I think it was just a hero's journey kind of thing. There's a lot of you know, just common themes that run throughout a lot of stories. And
I'd buy that, except for the fact they took specific plot points from The Phantom Menace. And by the way, dwarves are not the same height as humans.
Yeah,
there's a reason why they're called dwarves.
And defeats the purpose of being a dwarf if you're the same height.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item, and this one is also a gotcha moment for a company.
Okay. Ubisoft admits poor Syndicate sales are due to franchise fatigue caused by Unity. This is from Game Watcher. Assassin's Creed Syndicate has had the second worst selling opening week in franchise history, behind only Assassin's Creed Rogue in that department. In Ubisoft's investors call last night, the publishers blamed it on the negative fan feedback of last year's Assassin's Creed Unity. Clearly, in our first week, we were impacted by what happened with Assassin's Creed Unity, stated CFO Alan Martinez, while CEO Yves Guillemot. Oh, that's an M.
Guillemot. It's French. Yves
Guillemot. Oh, sorry. Noted that Syndicate was still getting good word of mouth. He claimed, "We seem to experience the same sales curves as Assassin's Creed Black Flag versus Unity. Syndicate was down in the first week out, but nicely outperformed it in its second week, as it benefited from positive word of mouth." Guillemot, however, did not reveal whether Syndicate was overperforming Unity in its first 2 weeks.
Yeah. So here, the lesson here is don't release a completely, utterly buggy game, you know, because that might affect sales for your next game.
It is feeling a little fatigued, because what I feel like is they're taking the assassin and just throw him in a new area. Like, okay, we've done Victorian England now, let's do the pirates, let's do Indian Civil War, let's do...
Well, it's actually the other way around. First it's the Civil War,
I know, I'm
then it's pirates,
it out,
and then
I'm
it's...
I'm saying it out of order, but that's kind of my point. I have no idea what order it is, what's supposed to be. You know, they just throw assassins in each area. I mean, eventually I'm sure they'll get to China for some reason and
yeah,
just throw them
in. I don't
there,
like when they, I don't like when they dump numbering systems. You had Assassin's Creed, you had Assassin's Creed 2. Then they went with the colon, Assassin's Creed Revelations, Assassin's Creed this, Assassin's... And then they stopped at 4. You know what? When I'm... Look at the Resident Evil movies. Does Resident Evil Apocalypse come before, say, Resident Evil, I think it's Homecoming or something like that? Can you tell which order the movies are supposed to be in?
No.
I just, Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4, Halo 5, got it. Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, got it.
Right.
You know? But, you know, when you release a fantastically buggy game and, you know, everybody was really down on Unity, regardless of whether it was good or not, you know, and I think some people after the bug said, it's actually pretty good. You know, they're not going to, you know, they already have a yearly Assassin's Creed coming out. Don't release a buggy game in that
right.
aspect. You can afford to skip a year or another 6 months, fix it before you release it.
And that's, like, my point with Bethesda is they take about, like, 2 or 3 years between these games. You know, they take their time. They don't have to ship out something every single year.
Yeah, when was the difference between Fallout 4 and Fallout New Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas? Was it, like, 3 years, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
And when did Fall of Vegas come out? 2012? Or it actually seems like a lot longer ago than that because it was.
It does.
Fallout 4. Oh, it came out in 2010. So we've been waiting 5 years for Fallout 4.
Yep. And I mean, they take their time to develop these games, and that's what I think some of these game companies are really missing, is you need to really develop games that people care about that they can get attached to and also have good quality and not major bugs that people just find easily and just, you know, hey, look at the missing skins and all this other crazy stuff.
It was 2 years between Fallout 3 and New Vegas, and New Vegas was still buggy. And that's the thing about open-world games, is that they're going to be buggier than hell because there's a lot of procedural generation in it. You know, in a lot of games, like a first-person shooter, you just worry about the level design, and you worry about how the weapons are. In an open-world game, you have a lot of stuff going on. You know, and there are a lot of bugs in Red Dead Redemption, which are actually pretty funny. I mean, everybody remembers the donkey woman, who was a woman... who acted like a donkey, and you could ride her like a donkey because the code got things confused. So you had this donkey woman running around, squawking like a donkey, behaving like a donkey, and you could ride her like a donkey and all that stuff. Oh, God. I think you could also skin her like a donkey if you're going to pull that. I haven't seen anybody try it, but I'm pretty sure it was possible with that kind of bug. There are fun bugs, right? I mean, stuff that procedurally generated that's just batshit crazy. You post it on YouTube. But there's also what we call game-breaking bugs in which the game crashes or doesn't make you can't save and stuff like that. That's the stuff you got to get rid of.
Right.
Oh, my God. This is breaking news. You might find it pleasing. If you pre-order Fallout 4 on the Xbox One, you get Fallout 3 for free thanks to backwards compatibility.
That is cool.
You see, Sony, are you paying attention?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people are going to now pre-order Fallout 4 on the Xbox One because they're going to get Fallout 3 for free? Well, the thing is, it won't work with me because I still have Fallout 3. I still have the disc, so you know. But still, there are people out there who did not play Fallout 3 on the Xbox 360, and they're going to get a free game.
They'll definitely want to do that. I can see that.
Yeah. So everything is coming back to Fallout. This podcast.
Well, it's about to come out, and yeah, it's going to be real big for a while.
You know, the funny thing is that this is the most hyped game I've seen this year, aside from Halo 5, and it's right there with Halo 5. You know, partly because it's multi-platform. You know, Halo 5 is not.
Right.
This past week, by the way, Halo 5 had made $400 million in its first week, which is the best of any Halo game, even including inflation. So, yeah, I mean, and it took forever for Fallout 5 to come out, too. So, are we going to quote Paul now? Is Paul going to overhang over this thing in which we have to say, you know, I botched the quote. Maybe you remember the quote better, don't you?
Which quote? Because he has a few.
This one is, the Shigeru Miyamoto game quote is, a rush game. A delayed game is eventually good, but a rush game is forever bad.
Oh, yes, right. So,
and that's what happened with Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed Unity. A rush game is forever bad. That's one of the bad things about the internet, is that it made getting patches too easy. Used to be, when there was a bug in a game, first of all, they had something we like to call external playtesters, and I should know, because I was one of them for Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we actually pointed out stuff that was broken in the game. They don't do that. They don't want to hear people telling them that their game is broken.
Right.
You know, it's not a bug. It's a feature. You know, and now they can just say, well, we'll fix it in the post. You know, console games, you could not do that. Once it's on the cartridge, that's it. There's no such thing as a patch.
Yeah.
And at least with PC. Yeah. And with PC games, they still have to have the expense of getting a disc and paying for postage and shipping it out to you.
They would do that, though. Sierra did that when I claimed there was a bug in Incredible Machine, and they sent me...
They probably found the bug, and you were just saying, hey, I found this bug, and it was basically... Yeah,
well,
we know.
Sure they already found it. I know. I need the patch, and they gave me the patch.
I think I told this story before on the podcast. I don't know if you were here. When I was playing Front Page Sports Football, the original, the first one, I actually found there's problems with the field goal kicking. So I actually called the developer directly. And I chatted with them for like 20 minutes on the phone. And they sent me a patch, which a disc, which would basically turn it into Front Page Sports Football Pro, because that was a that was the game they were coming out with. And I think it was sort of their way of patching, you know, getting rid of the first game and putting in the second game, you know, and doing all these changes. But can you imagine if there was something wrong with Fallout and you called Pete Hines directly and said, "Hey, Pete, hey, how's it going? Listen, I found this problem with Fallout 4, you know, and have a discussion with him for 20 minutes. Could you imagine doing that these days with a developer? I mean, now developers are like the president, you know. It's very or a major movie star. You have to talk. You have to send them messages through proxies, you know, or just go on the message board and complain with about 1,000 other people.
Well, I'm glad that they were responsive, and you know, it's that just feels like that's a lot less now, and. You know, mm-hmm. That's what I just meant about getting a patch like so quickly from Sierra. I mean, I'm sure they had already found her, and it was just nice that they were able to respond to my issue and
get me
the disc. You know, because then that was back in the day of snail mail. And,
well, like and I said, I wrote Sierra saying, "Hey, can I be a beta tester?"
And
they and no, they was it? Well, they wrote back with discs for the Incredible Machine 2 and said, "Here, have at it."
That's awesome.
And also, later on, it was Jagged Alliance 2. I did a lot of beta testing, actually. I did all the beta testing for all the early MMOs, in fact. Ultima Online, Dark Age of Camelot, City of Heroes, Champions Online, World of Warcraft. You know, once I think it's because when I did the beta application, the old beta application, remember they would say, "Well, list the games that you have beta tested already," and I have this long list. Wow. So it's like, well, we got to do him because he's experienced.
There you go.
Did you ever beta test a game? I know you said
no,
you wanted to.
I didn't. I didn't think I was old enough, or I didn't send a letter, and I was just, I don't know. I never did, but I actually wanted to work directly for them and make games with them, because I just loved their company so much back in the day, and, you know, it's sad that they, you know, that's a dream that'll never come true.
One of the major gaming talents today who did the remake of Leader Suit Larry rode into Sierra as a young teen. And they, what's it called? They had him as a beta tester. And before long, I think when he was 15, he was actually making games for them. So you never know. You never know. It never hurts to ask.
That's true.
You know? Just, I know, Paul gets irritated by people who ask and are very vague about it. You know, ask, but be specific about it.
Right. Don't beat around the bush.
No.
Just get right to the point.
So we're going to move on to the next item. Oh, and look, hey, you know, everything is segueing into everything else this podcast. World of Warcraft paid subscribers at a 9-year low at 5.5 million subscribers. And this comes from Game Watcher. Blizzard has announced that the paid subscribership for World of Warcraft has decreased again to roughly 5.5 million users, down from a peak of 14 million 9 years ago. The studio had lost 10,000 subscribers in each of the past 3 months. This news comes at an interesting time, especially since BlizzCon is being held right now, and it's possible that the falling subscriber numbers could put a pall on the event. Blizzard is sure to hype the upcoming World of Warcraft movie, which made its trailer debut yesterday. The studio will undoubtedly be counting on the Legion expansion to bolster numbers, although expansions have done with diminishing returns over the years. There is no release date for Legion, which is not true anymore. They said summer 2016, and also no later than September 21st. But the pre-order button has appeared on this official store page. However, the button is unclickable, and the caption merely says, "Coming soon." Interestingly enough, Activision Blizzard today announced that they had purchased King Digital Entertainment for a mind-boggling $5.9 billion, which is a lot for a company whose sole profitable IP has been Candy Crush. One has to wonder if Activision Blizzard is starting to look forward to the social mobile market for additional revenue. Back in 2008, Activision had purchased Blizzard for a comparable $18.9 billion. Regardless of speculation, Activision Blizzard also announced they would no longer be revealing the paid subscriber numbers anymore, and that would include other metrics to describe the health of the veteran MMO. I will add, though, that 5.5 million users is still five times more than most MMOs that aren't Eastern. you know. Okay, the Eastern MMOs are free to play, and they have outrageous subscriber numbers, like in hundreds of millions or tens of millions.
Yeah, I think this is where we're getting into that, because I know a lot of companies are like the bottom line, and they want to not just make money, but make more money than last year, and make more money than the last year. And so when you have that mentality driven into people, and suddenly you're shown that you're getting fewer and fewer people, so thus you must be making less and less money, they think, well, you're dying then, clearly. You know, so it's a confused message when, you know, it's all this corporate speech of what constitutes success and, you know, what's doing fine and what's not actually doing fine. But in the case of that Activision buying Candy Crush, I hope they make the money. I'm not sure if they make it through DLC. They probably will.
Someone pointed out that by doing this, they're getting 500 million users, you know, that are already invested in the game. So whether that's worth 6.9 million billion, I mean,
yeah, I don't
that's a lot. I mean,
that is, wow.
And the thing is that you have to wonder if you're going to be able to use these people for anything but Candy Crush.
Probably just Candy Crush.
Speaking of, by the way, it's Candy Crush. Speaking of microtransaction hell.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
You have to pay to get further in the game. I don't know. Could you imagine in Tetris, you reach level 20 on the board and it says, oh, to continue, you must spend 99 cents.
Screw that. I'd be done.
You know? I mean, there are other Candy Crush type games, including the game that they ripped off from. you know the guy that they paid off? I forgot the name of the game. It was Candy something. I wonder how he feels now, knowing that he probably got something like $100,000 from King, and now they're selling the company for $6.9 billion, basically on a game that he made. He might have said, maybe I should have asked for a little bit more money than
yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not like the Oculus Rift controversy, in which people were upset that Oculus was selling their company to Facebook for a couple of $1 billion and they weren't seeing part of it. Basically, no, you basically invested in a product, a one-time investment to get, and the payment you were going to get was going to be that product. You know, this is something completely different. You know, poor guy. You know, and you wonder how many times you're going to make a game. It isn't quite original. You know, I think there were other Candy Crush types of games, and I'm not thinking about Mario RX, I'm thinking about other stuff, but the mode of that kind of match 3 plus and Candy and all that turned into a $7 billion franchise, and you're the one who invented it, and you don't see much of it, oh god, you could, even if you got a fraction of that, say $10 million, you could retire right there. You know, if I did that, I would want $10 million. Just like, okay, fine, I'm done. I'm done. I can retire now. Thank you. I'll just go to movies, what's it called, play some board games, play some video games for the rest of my life on the $10 million. I don't feel like developing any more games. I'll let other people do it. I'll just enjoy the promise, you know. God.
I think there's been a few developers like that. Notch seems to have been like that. Phil Fish, and I guess this guy too. It just, they don't want to deal with this headache. They just wanted to make a game.
I know, but the scale though, $6.9 billion. I mean, that's just insane. You know? Mm. And like I said, you know, Activision is probably doing it because of the user base that Candy Crush has. You know, and here's the problem though. King released other games other than Candy Crush, and they all flopped badly. Candy Crush is the only game they have that anyone cares about, and you have to be careful about investing in a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, you do. Wow. So are they buying the people that made the game, or just the game?
They're buying the entire franchise. I mean, the people who made the game are enjoying a $6.9 billion windfall.
Okay, because, like, I mean, it was like, was it like...
They bought the company, I think, yeah. It's sort of like when they bought Blizzard, you know? Except Blizzard made more sense. I mean, that franchise prints money, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Candy Crush does too, but I don't know if it does it to the tune of $6.9 billion. I mean, EA also bought PopCap, who did Bejeweled and all the other games, And that made sense. Well, Electronic Arts did. I'm sorry, not Activision. And that made sense too, you know. And
so
but you know the one.
Go ahead. Peter out eventually the Candy Crush.
I guess. I mean, has Tetris petered out?
Yeah, but Tetris gets new games. You know, people make new versions of it and or different variations of it. And I just I don't know. I just doesn't seem like a smart investment, but maybe it is for them. I don't know.
I know. Here's the thing: is that I'll give you an example of another game that has that sort of user base. It's Angry Birds. Rovio has not sold it to anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody would purchase Angry Birds, even though they've had multiple iterations of it that were successful, like Angry Birds Star Wars, right?
Right.
And they have a movie coming out, which is being made by the right people, by the way. I mean, they have the people who did the Lego movie and doing the Angry Birds movie, so at least you have a feeling that it won't be some quick cash grab, right?
Hopefully it won't be like Pixels, yeah.
Well, no, that's Happy Madison. There was a movie called The Cobbler, which was one of the worst movies ever, and it was the plot sounds very benign. A guy gets the power to become the person that he wears the shoes of, and it was the worst. They hated it even worse than Pixels did. They hated Pixels. So yeah, but like I said, Angry Birds isn't doing this. I mean, you don't see any. You know, is anybody going to shell out $6 billion for Angry Birds? Everybody and their parent knows Angry Birds. And they did have other successful other franchises in the same thing. Cut the Rope. You know,
yeah.
With the best naming monster in the world, Nom Nom.
Nom Nom Candy.
Yeah. So, getting back to World of Warcraft. Here's the thing. World of Warcraft came out 11 years ago. It's getting time, you know. They've gone a long, long way without releasing a World of Warcraft 2, although some will argue that World of Warcraft Cataclysm was basically World of Warcraft 2 because it changed everything. So yeah, after 11 years, you can imagine that that MMO would be showing its age. I mean, people played it the hell out of it. You know?
I played it and got my fill, and I think maybe it's time to let it go. Let it go.
I might get Legion, if only because I haven't played anything since the game that was before Cataclysm. I forgot which one. I think it was Burning Crusade. So I haven't played the Pandaren one, in which you get to play Kung Fu Panda. And by the way, it was that legal tap dancing. I mean, it's Kung Fu Panda. There's no denying it.
It's completely Kung
Fu Panda.
It's not Kung Fu Panda at all.
Just martial arts pandas?
They've been making jokes about having a Pandaren race for years and years and years, and you can't trademark Kung Fu or any martial arts for that matter.
But they're clearly taking off the popularity of Kung Fu Panda. I mean,
no,
even if it was
not.
Okay. Did you play that expansion? I forgot that expansion was called.
No, I haven't, and I had no. I did not even make that connection until you made it, and I didn't. So they didn't make it obvious that that's what they were doing. No, the fandom had been talking about Panda Bear Race for years.
I don't remember that. And I was one of the first players of the game. I have a relationship with Gil Schiff, because the funny thing, the first E3 I ever went to was the first time that World of Warcraft was ever shown off. So the thing about World of Warcraft for me is that when I heard that they changed the entire specs, you know how you do specs, mm-hmm. the way it was described just turned me right off. In which you just select entire builds. I said no, I like the micromanaging of your character. Ooh, I'm going to place points in this stat. I'm going to place points in that stat. You know, and yeah, people had killer. You know, just like in Magic the Gathering, people had these builds that are always the same. You know, that's fine, but some of us don't do that. Some of us aren't munchkins who are going to number crunch and min-max. You know, I just did it because, I want my guy to be a healer with, you know, because my main character is now a Draenei priest. And I know the Draenei came in the Burning Crusade expansion. I mean, my previous guy was a human priest, but I decided to make a Draenei priest because Draenei were more suited to healing. You know, because I was always about the support class, right? You know? Mm-hmm. Anyways, but the thing is that now that they have builds, I said, no, I'd rather make my own build. You know, I don't want pre-made builds. You know, and maybe I'm wrong because I haven't played World of Warcraft since the Burning Crusade. But yeah, I mean, I might check it out. You know, I'm more likely to check out the new Star Wars: The Old Republic expansion.
Which... Yeah, I haven't played the World of Warcraft since Burning Crusade as well, so it's been a very long time.
I also enjoyed being a Blood Elf, simply because they were pricks and they loved being pricks.
Yeah, they were.
And also, I enjoyed doing the joke, and one of them was always, you know, you're what's it called? Don't be jealous. What's it called? Don't you wish your boyfriend was hot like me?
Oh.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, I mean, one of the memes back then, if you remember, was the typical quest for Blood Elf was kill this kitten for fun.
Jeez, that's terrible.
No, that was the joke, though, because all of their quests at the beginning were basically just being pricks, you know?
Right.
Anyways, although you could say that about the undead race, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of their thing were doing brutal things to the Alliance. And it's a good thing they had to create the Burning Crusade so that you could have the good guy undead and the bad guy undead. So, anyway, is there any chance that you would investigate Legion?
No.
Because I think from what I've seen of the trailer, it looks like you're going to have cooperative missions between factions.
Oh my god, finally.
I think. That because if you watch the trailer, it's a Horde and Alliance fighting a common foe. Now you do have I have enjoyed, by the way, the PvE servers, you know, the happy fun go lucky servers in which everybody's friends, you know, Alliance and Horde holding hands and skipping through meadows sort of thing.
Hmm.
So, but it'll be interesting. And you know what I would like if they do have those cooperative missions between the Alliance and Horde still have a language barrier in which you can't understand what the other one is saying.
Yeah, there was that in the game, and I got really just tired of it. I mean, it just felt really old and stagnant, just doing the same thing of having these two factions fight each other, and you have this demon horde, and neither side wanted to seem to really fight it. And I know Cataclysm changed that up, I think, but it's
yeah, but so. It sunk my favorite area under the water, and that was, you remember the huge salt plains where all those scorpions and things? I loved that area.
Mm.
There's this long salty salt bed with nothing for miles to be seen. That was kind of cool, and then they jumped it underwater.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Anyways, the question of the week is, what have you been playing this week? And the reason why I'm asking that is because there's so many games coming out. One thing we did not mention, and which would actually tie into the Unity thing, was that the PC version of Call of Duty Black Ops 3 was buggy as hell. Oh, and that leads us, by the way, and this is not in the podcast notes, but I think we should discuss it, the Batman Arkham Knight deal with PC. So for those of you who don't know, Batman Arkham Knight was so buggy on Steam, they actually had to pull it and offer refunds to everybody.
Wow.
4 months later, they re-release it on Steam, and it's buggy as hell, and they're again offering refunds for the game.
Good lord.
Now, it isn't as bad as it was, but now, you see, the thing about PC is that every PC has their own spec, really. People build their own PCs, they have different specs and all that, and you have to account for every single build that might be out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why Call of Duty 3, that tells you the level of respect they have for the PC version. They don't really care. I mean, in that they have this mentality, it's good enough, we'll release it. And then we'll release a patch later. You know? And in some cases, like Batman Arkham Knight, it was just unplayable. And there was proof that they knew that it was going to be buggy, the PC version. And they released it anyway. Which is why when you hear, the console version is coming out now and the PC version is coming out a few months later, you should applaud them. They're waiting. You know, they're making sure that the PC version is playable. You know, I mean, you don't have this with PC-only games. Like, did you hear of any major game-crashing bugs with Civ 5? I mean, Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure there were one or two because people had funky builds. But there was nothing that was, like, stopping, you know, that people were offering major refunds beyond Earth. Did you hear anything catastrophic about that? No.
No.
Oh, and there is one game that's coming out. I don't know what you feel about this game. I think you like it. They released new information about XCOM 2, and it's like, oh. Everything that I wanted from the first XCOM, they're going to be doing an XCOM 2.
Excellent.
Because, did you play XCOM?
I played it, yeah, but there was a whole, like, RNG insta-kill thing that kind of turns people off, I think.
Well, for me, it was that the campaign felt short.
Well, that would be bad, too.
You know, and it seems like you're going to have... I have heard there's the Long War mod for XCOM, but the thing is, you know, I just, you know, it felt like I was playing a story... And, you know, I want to make my own story. I mean, yeah, they had this story, but, you know... So it always felt like I was just playing a strategy game campaign like Might and Magic. And it just didn't feel right with XCOM. It seems that in XCOM 2, there's going to be a lot more side quests. There's going to be a lot... Well, not side quests, but side missions. There's going to be a lot more stuff to do in it. So it doesn't feel like you're being railroaded from one end to the other. You know? In which, in XCOM, you're building up your team, you're trying to get someone who has psychic abilities so that they can go kill the, so they can go destroy the bad guys and all that stuff. Right. But, you know, whatever. In this, it seems like there's, you're the resistance, because it takes place in a world in which the aliens won. And
that
now
they. Interesting.
And now you're playing a resistance movement, and, you know, the Advent are now the enforcers. So, hold on 1 second.
That sounds good, actually. I think it makes you feel like you're something big is at stake and you're trying to fight against the odds. I think people seem to like that, being the underdog and having this insurmountable mountain to overcome, and the odds are against you and you want to fight them, and even if you know, have a slim chance of winning.
And the side quests are of this nature, in which you get intelligence saying, oh, they're working on this. And if they complete it, they're going to get these bonuses. And if you want to stop it, you have to go into that mission. And like everything else in the game, you know, things take over time, so you're going to have to make choices. Do I want to stop this, or do I want to stop this, or do I want to stop this? So there's that aspect, which I'm really digging. Mm-hmm. Right? And there are going to be missions you actually go on to stop them. The thing about XCOM was that, oh, great, another terror mission. Oh, great, I have to do this mission. You know, you would get random missions like in XCOM 2, except they were always the same type of missions. You knew what you had to do in them, and they all had the same outcome. You know, it was great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it was really thrilling. It was very cinematic. But after a while, you caught on to the patterns in the game, right? And it looks like in XCOM 2, you're not going to have those patterns anymore, because they're going to be mixing in these other missions in which you have the option of stopping them if you want to, but if you don't want to do it, the other team is going to get a bonus. And what I really hope for, and I don't know if they've announced this, and I don't know if they've announced or they're going to play, is an endless mode in which you just keep playing and playing and playing and playing until you finally succumb. You know, just see how far you can go before you finally lose.
Right.
It's survival
mode. Survival mode, I guess it's called, or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Or horde mode in shooters.
Yeah.
Anyways, that is the question. What have you been playing this week? Obviously, we already did our answers. So I'm going to ask you, aside from Fallout 4, is there anything that you're really looking forward to?
Let's see. I am looking forward to that Baldur's Gate expansion that'll come
out
whenever that is.
Now, aren't they also working on Baldur's Gate 3?
That's what I'm hoping, yeah. I think that's the plan, but they haven't made an official, we're working on it.
I think it's the official, if you buy enough of this, we'll make it.
Yeah, it will happen if you buy enough of this, yes. I think that's their underlying way of saying that without actually saying it, yes.
Yeah. Actually, the Battletech Kickstarter has just completed, and I'm really looking forward to that, because I played the old Battletech games on the Amiga, right? And it was a nice little... RPG, tactical strategy RPG, in which you built up your mech and you send them out on missions, and I sucked at it. I think now I'm a little bit more sophisticated that I can actually last a little bit longer, and it's being made by the same guys who did it, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. I guess I'm also looking forward to the Legend of Heroes 2 game, the second chapter, once I'm finished with the first one. And
well, you already bought it, so yeah, you're looking forward to it. So you haven't finished chapter 1?
I haven't finished chapter one, but I am close to finishing it. Yes.
And you have that. You have that feel. Well, be careful because when I played Jade Empire 2, Jade Empire. Mm-hmm. I got to that one point in which, oh, okay, the game's finished. I've defeated the bad guy, and oh dear. And one of the biggest twists of any game, I could see the twist in Knights of the Old Republic coming. I did not see the twist in Jade Empire coming. And when I play the game again, I say, oh. And games that are really well written, you can see, once you play it over again, say, those are the clues. Those are the clues. It was basically telling me what was going to happen, and I did not notice it. Have you ever had any game like that?
Where he's like, I noticed that you seem to have a weakness in your fighting style. It must be my imagination.
And they said
characters that said that.
Yeah, let's not spoil the game for other people, because I think that this is one of those games I don't want to spoil for anybody because there's always going to be someone new. I mean, there are certain old games that you don't mind spoiling, like, oh yeah, Half-Life 2. The father gets killed. Yeah, we know. That's a cliffhanger that hasn't been resolved yet, by the way. But in Jade Empire 2, yeah. I mean, when you see how he handles certain characters like Gao the Lesser.
Yeah.
Right? And you see all this. When you play it again, it's like, oh, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there is an ending in which you can let him win. The bad guy, the ultimate bad guy win.
Wow.
And it's the stupidest thing you'd ever do. It's sort of like in Vampires the Masquerade, if you help the Quajin, your reward in the end of the game is that they lock you in a sarcophagus and dump you in the ocean. You helped us win, and we're not going to kill you, but we're going to lock you in the bottom of the ocean, and since you're a vampire, you'll never die anyway, so technically we're not killing you.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
You know, I mean, of course you won't have any blood. You won't have any blood to suck or anything like that, so you'll go massively insane, but we didn't kill you.
Well, you'll probably go into a state of torpor and just,
Well, even then, what's it called, vampires, in that... Oh, that's the other thing. Someone bought the entire White Wolf library. And I'm trying to remember who did it. They bought the entire World of Darkness.
Wow. I haven't,
Yeah, and it's a major publisher, too. Oh, it's CD Projekt Red, I think it is. Yeah, cool. The people who are making... what's the CD Projekt? I got to do news on this. Paradox. Now, Paradox Interactive bought The World of Darkness. Not only did they buy the video game rights, but they bought the pen and paper RPG and everything about it.
Pen and paper RPG?
Like Vampire the Masquerade.
I'm pretty sure Wizard still owns that.
World of Darkness? No. Light Wolf is completely different.
The D20, the Dungeons & Dragons...
Oh, no. This is something completely different.
Okay.
By the way, that reminds me. GOG is selling the Gold Box games that are less well-known. The Ravenloft.
The Dark Sun and Aliquin. I got the Aliquin.
Yeah. There are only two games now that are not available. One of them is the Spelljammer game, which I heard was mediocre, but still, you know, AD&D in space. And the other one is Fantasy Empires, which I'd rather see a remake of than an actual, straightforward. Because the game is sort of primitive, but it does have great moments, and I would love to see it expanded. And I was surprised to see they have Stronghold available.
Oh, yeah, that made me happy.
Yeah. Not the Stronghold that we know of. It's the actual Stronghold that was D&D licensed, for those of you listening.
That's the only Stronghold I know.
The other Stronghold is a medieval game in which it's sort of like you have to build your castle and defend it from people. So anyways, so look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net. I misplaced the page. Why did I do that for? Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with the industry news and our gaming history articles. Read your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast, or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon on Twitter, and Scott is at Alpha Shard on Twitter as well. We'd like to hear from you. We didn't get any letters last week, but that was basically because it was on short notice, and I don't think people had a chance to write in.
All right. So, happy gaming, everyone.
Yep, and hope you had a great Halloween.
Yes.
I know you did, because you were you were a Jedi.
Yeah,
I was escorting the princess around.
I lit up a lightsaber and when I swing around, make the noises, and so that was a lot.
Oh, you had one of those? Do you have the old ones, the really old lightsabers from the late 70s, which actually did have the when you swung it around?
Yeah, that's what this one does. It goes when you swing it.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
All right. See you next week.